Jesus said unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. I almost preached from the subject this morning. Gail, stop lying. I almost. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. Go back, Dane. Jesus said unto them, Have you understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old, and bringeth out of his treasure things new and old, and bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. It'll make sense in a moment, but I want to talk this Sunday morning from the subject, Miss Ruby's theology. Miss Ruby's theology. Miss Ruby is my sainted grandmother. My grandmother died in 2012 at the tender age of 95 years old. My grandmother was born in 1917 and died 95 years later in 2012. I had one selfish prayer as she began to grow older and weaker. Cynthia and I were struggling for many years that she would at least see one of my children born. And before she died, she was able to hold all nine at some point in time of her grandchildren. She had gone on to glory when Ian was born, but I was thankful to God that he answered one of my prayers, that she was able to see one of her last grandchildren come into the world. Because she was born in 1917, of course, she endured the Depression. My great-grandfather, I.S. Levy, came to Columbia, South Carolina from Camden, South Carolina in 1908, opened up the Levy Tailoring Store and then the Levy Department Store, but had to close the department store during the Depression because of the lack of resources, not only just in the African-American community, but because there was a depression across the land. My grandmother, and forgive me, Daddy, but I'm in the pulpit, so I've got just to tell the truth, was a pack rat. She would have been on the TV show Hoarders. She kept everything. Tell you a funny story. Back during the time when churches sold tapes and DVDs, we had a funeral in Swansea, and this church didn't have a bookstore. They didn't have a tape ministry. They just put all the DVDs and tapes out on the table in the lobby. And I got to the hearse, and there were 20 tapes in the hearse and DVDs. She thought they were giving them away. So had to go back and pay for all of them, amen. But she kept everything, and I realized after aggravating her all the time about throwing stuff away, that growing up in the Depression taught her that you never know when you're going to be in need, and you never know when you're going to be in drought. And she always had what she needed. And she had her own museum without having a government handout. But also, my grandmother had an Amazon account before Amazon was even open. Erica will attest that she dressed to the nine. She was all sharp from head to toe, and one of those old school women whose hat had to match every outfit. The hat went with the outfit, and even though she had stuff in her apartment from since 1951, and apartment, yes, she lived above the funeral home for 61 years. That's why funeral homes are called funeral homes, because black families actually lived above the funeral home, and the funeral parlor, as y'all used to call it, was on the first floor. The family lived on the second floor, and my grandmother lived upstairs in that apartment where I take my naps now, don't tell nobody, for 61 years. And if you went into her apartment just like this householder in the text, you would see the old, but you would also see the new. You would see a kettle where you made tea next to a Gevalia coffee maker. Now, if you know anything about Gevalia, they don't get no finer than that. But she still had a Dollar General teapot also on the side. She had all of her clothes that Polly and Esther made in 51. But she still had St. John and Don Carrion and P.R. Cardin. She had both the old and the new. And it took me a time in wise, getting wisdom to understand why she kept everything based upon the despair her family went through during the Depression. And my grandmother was a well of wisdom. We loved to just sit at her feet and hear stories from the past and how life used to be and how far we had come as a people and how proud she was, not just of our family, but of other families who claimed to be African American, and how well they would be doing. And she, before we had a computer where we would type in and put in our database of all of our services and families we'd serve, she had a mental memory of every family we had served, to the point that she, Erica, could go on the back of the file and write down every family and members of the family had we had already buried in your family. And there would be times if people who still owed us money and she saw them in the grocery store, she'd go tell them, you know, you still got a bill. We had to stop that, amen. Another funny thing my grandma used to do, y'all know when they used to put when you owe money for taxes on your property? She'd cut your name out the newspaper and send it to you. But let me tell y'all something. Wait a minute now. She was not trying to embarrass you. She was trying to tell you, you go get your business in order because you have already been embarrassed, and I don't want to see you embarrassed again, and I definitely don't want nobody to go to the tax sale and get your property. Go get your stuff straight. My grandmother was a well of wisdom. She sent out birthday cards, Christmas cards, Halloween day cards. She was sending, even though we shared an office, she would still mail my birthday card to my house. I'm like, Grandma, I'm right next door. You can just send it to me. You ain't got to spend no 30 cents on a stamp. My grandmother had the old and the new. And I miss her dearly for her well of wisdom. And knowing that times would change, but she was a constant in my life. Ruby Levy Johnson was my first lady. You get that tomorrow. My grandmother, Prelo, was my first lady. I know you were close to my grandmother, but when I started preaching in 2002, Cynthia was not yet in my life. And every preaching event I had until Cynthia came into my life, Ms. Ruby went with me. When she found out I had a preaching engagement, what time I need to be ready? And I'll go pick her up, and she'd sit in the back of the church in asleep. She never clapped. She never said amen. She never waved her hands, but she was just there to be with her boy. That was enough to let me know that she was proud of me and supported what God had poured into me. Miss Ruby's theology is the theology that we find here about this good householder who had treasure in both old and new. There's some people now who can only find treasure in stuff that is new and find no value in things that are old. The people who sleep and camp out all night in front of the Verizon store for a new iPhone that don't do no different than the one you already got. Who are spending $1,000 over market value for a PlayStation 5 that do the same thing that the PlayStation 4 do. They find no value in old hymns of the church, knowing that we ain't singing Shackles on My Feet in Heaven. I'm sorry, ain't no Kirk Franklin and Mary Mary songs most likely gonna be on the playlist when we get to glory, amen. They find no value in the old and the new, but my grandmother taught me how to respect the old, but also embrace the new. And so as Jesus is teaching here in chapter 13, he reminds the disciples that I need you to have respect for the old and the new. In chapter 13, we learn so much. We first learn about the parable of the sower. We learn that Jesus talks about the parable of the sower and how seeds are thrown out. And after the seeds are thrown out, some of those seeds fall on good ground. Some of those seeds fall on rocks. And some of those seeds blow into the air. Because every time there's a preaching moment, of course, there's some things that go over people's heads because you're not paying attention. You're already on your phone. You're already texting. You're already thinking about what you're going to eat. You're already thinking about how fast we're going to get out of here. How can I be first in line to get to try chicken in the Publix? You're already thinking about all those things. You're thinking about somebody who, well, back when we had a full church, you're looking at somebody of the other persuasion. You wonder if they married or not, if they with somebody or not. How many times they came in with the same person? Okay, they might be a possibility. Some stuff go over your head because you. How many times, Lord? Some fall on rocks because some of y'all don't want to hear the word of God. No how. You don't say nothing. You don't act like nothing. You just a rock. And the Bible says, if you don't do it, the rocks going to cry out. And I don't need no rocks crying out for me. God has been too good for me to let even you give God credit for what he's done for me. Let me pause and give my testimony right now. I don't need no rocks and I don't need you. I don't need no praise team leader. I don't need no worship leader. I don't need Erica and CJ to remind me how good God has been good to me. When I woke up this morning and saw the sunshine, I know that God's been a good God. And I need somebody who else don't need nobody to remind yourself. I like the songwriter said, I know how I made it over. I made it over because God and Miss Ruby had been praying for me. I know that songwriter said, I had a praying grandmother. I had a praying grandmother. And I had a grandmother that supported my ministry and went everywhere my women. Some gonna fall on good soil. And then he talks about the parable of the weeds. He lets us know whether he's asked whether, hey man, we planted them seeds you talked about. You told us to plant them and we planted some and some went in the wind, some fell on rock. But the ones that fell on the good ground, they grew up, but weeds grew up with them too. I thought we only planted good seeds. And that's the difficulty with a lot of preachers have and a lot of pastors has. One don't know why so much wickedness is in their churches. Well, anytime the sons of God gather, there's always going to be Satan in the midst. You should never, ever be shocked when Satan is in your ministry, on your job, and sometimes in your house. That just goes with the territory. And they ask the question, should we pull up the weeds now? And the man says no. God says no. Don't pull up the weeds. Let them grow together. You know, it's a good thing, too, that the weeds. And I just, hey, God, thank you for your email that you just sent, because it's a good thing that he puts the weeds and the weeds together so you can know the difference between the two. Because some of y'all think just because they tall, dark, and handsome, they weeds. And sometimes you just need me short, light, and cute. But they got to grow next to each other, Gail, so you know the difference. Because everything that shine ain't gold. I wish I had a witness right here for a woman who fell into some things that were shining, but they were not gold. I need some witness from here for a man that thought it was all. I don't know what the measurements mean, 26, 36, 28. I'll ask Cynthia when I get home. I can't ask you because you might have the right ones. But I know that everything that look good ain't good for you. So God said, let me put the good and the bad together so you know which one. Hey, hey, you know which one is the right one and which one ain't the right one. I thought I was just going to tell my Easter story, but y'all done got me. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And then he talks about the parable of the mustard seed. He goes from this large scattering of ground, this large field of planting a whole field, and then he just deals with one little seed. In other words, God's got time to deal with each one of us and each one of our issues, each one of our vices, each one of our weaknesses. God has enough time to deal with each one of us in our smallness, but he also wants to know, no matter how small you think you are, you can grow up to be as large as the mustard seed tree. It starts off as a very little small seed, and he says if you just have a little faith that size, you can have plants, you can have property, you can have ownership, you can have your own island if you just have the faith the size of the mustard seed. And he says, when I send you out, you're going to need that faith, because people ain't going to be for you. People are going to stand against you. People are going to stab you in your back. But remember who you work for. And every now and then, y'all got to remember who you work for. You don't work for that man on the job. You don't work especially for the white man no more. You work for God. And everything you do, I don't care if you're the janitor in the school. That school got to be clean so the kids can learn in a clean environment. You working so that God might get the glory. Whatever you do with your life, make sure that God gets the glory for it. It can be small, but God is big. And then he re-examines the weeds. The disciples come back to him and say, man, explain to us these weeds again. And how the weeds and the wheat are going to be separated at the end. And Gail, again, I'm positive that they asked him again, because real Christians really want to make sure that they ain't a weed. Real Christians want to make sure that they're not a weed. I don't know what to call them. The 3 degrees, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But I've got 3 close friends that when I'm in turmoil and when I've got to make a major decision, I call them and get their advice, because I want to be in the will of God. And I don't want to act out. I don't want to go carnal, because first time when stuff happened, when, you know, stuff hit the fan, you want to go carnal. You want to go Brooklyn on them. All right? You want to get Queens on them. All right? You want to bop them in their eye. You right? So I got to calm down and make sure what I'm feeling is right, and how I'm going to respond is right. So I call, I, I, call my friends when I'm over there and make sure that I'm in the wheel and I'm not acting like a weed and I'm acting like wheat so that God might get the glory. And so I act like God when I respond. That's why y'all don't need to be cussing people out on the day that the problem hit the fan. You need to take some time to think about some things and how, when you respond, how is this going to affect them? But more importantly, how is it going to affect you? Oh, and all this stuff talking about we don't want to go to bed angry. No, sometimes you might need to go to bed angry. Just sleep in a different room if you have to. You need time to pray and tarry on something so that you respond in the right way as God will have you to respond. And God don't act like a microwave. You just can't put problems like that God has in the microwave and hit the button, hit start, and then think it's going to finish and turn one cycle and be ready for it. No, sometimes you got to wait on God so he can tell you how to be a wheat and not a weed. And so the disciples come back and say, God, tell us this story one more again so we can make sure that we're wheat and not weeds. And that's the problem with a whole lot of people right now. They just satisfied being weeds because they done weaved their weed. Some of y'all done smoked your weed. You done covered up your weed. And think y'all fooling us. We know you still weed. And you can't fool us, and you sure can't fool God. Because real wheat will produce real fruit. That's how you know. That's how you know. Because real wheat will produce real fruit. And then he talks about the parable of the hidden treasure. About this man that finds this treasure. In other words, he finds a lotto ticket that don't belong to him. He finds a bag of money that don't belong to him. And unlike y'all, he don't keep the lottery ticket and turn it in. He doesn't keep the bag of money. He turns it into the right authority, knowing that if God showed it to him, that God gonna give it to him in due season. Somebody say in due season. So again, everybody want to clap on the blessing. Everybody want to microwave their food in 5 seconds. But this man had sense enough to know, and he just delighted in the fact that God showed him treasure. Somebody say treasure. We're going to come back to that. God showed him treasure. God showed him treasure early on. God showed him treasure, I think, in about verse 4-4 around there. He shows him the treasure, but the man said, this is my treasure because God showed it to him, but I ain't going to steal it. I'm going to get it the right way because anything that is you steal can be stolen from you. Like I tell y'all all the time, if you girlfriend number two and you trying to get rid of girlfriend number one, as soon as you become girlfriend number one, don't you know somebody gonna fill your place? You want to always do things and get things in the right way because you know that's God's way. And he says, I'm going to find the resources I need because God is the source. He's the source of my strength, a very present help. I mean, he's going to give me what I need to purchase what I need. I'm going to let it sit right here. It ain't going nowhere. Because God has already put my name on here. I'm really not one of them type of prophets that do this stuff. But let me tell you something. God has already put something with your name on it. Just like the pollen is producing it right now. God is producing something for you right now. And I need somebody to believe that God is producing something for you in 2021. And it's going to grow early this year. It's going to come out early this year. I'm prophesying to somebody right now. You ain't going to have to wait on it. You ain't going to have to wait till Christmas to get the gift. God is about to do something for you right now. Can I hear the church say right now? Can I give the church say right now? If I were T.D. Jakes, I'd say get ready, 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 for God is about to do something now. And you got to believe it. You cannot have it. You cannot achieve it until you first believe it. Because God ain't going to give it to you unless you're going to give him the glory when you get it. I wish I had somebody to understand that God will give it to you if you promise him to give him the glory. You didn't get all that stuff you got on your own. You didn't get that degree on your own. Somebody
got you that student loan. Somebody helped you pass that test. Somebody introduced you to that woman. Somebody introduced you to that job. Somebody, yes! You ain't done all this on your own. Talking about I'm a self-made man. I don't want to meet no self-made man. I don't want to know how you did that. All right, back to my Easter speech. And then he talks about the parable of great value. The pearl, rather, of great value. He wants us to know a couple of things here in this parable. Every orchard does not make a pearl. You're not going to find the same gift in everybody. Everybody has a gift, but everybody does not have the same gift. This man was just looking for something precious, and he found it. And let me go back. This man was actually looking for abundance, but he found one thing that was of greater value than a whole lot of things. And there are a whole lot of us, like me, probably got too much. Hey, baby, I know, purge. That's my wife's favorite word, purge. That means throw away clothes you ain't worn. If you ain't worn it in a whole year, you done forgot you got it. So you want me to say that one more again? That's why it's called goodwill. Be will good. Be will good. If you ain't worn that thing in a year, you don't even know. And some of us like me who big, and I know you got to be careful. Some of us, you know, we buy stuff two sizes too small, hoping we going to get in it one day. Go ahead and take it back. You know, you use it as an incentive to lose weight. Still got the tags on. Go ahead and give it to Goodwill so somebody skinny can wear it. I'm glad I ain't the only one. He wanted abundance, Lewis, but he found something precious, and it was enough. And that's some of our problems. We want to live in abundance. We want God to increase our territory, but some of us just need to be satisfied with what God has given us and is paid for. And you don't owe nobody nothing on it. It's paid for and it's in your name and not your name in the bank. Talking about, is that your car? No, it's mine and First Citizens. It's mine and Bank of America. It's mine and the credit union. It ain't yours yet. You ain't got the title yet. As a matter of fact, even when you get the title, it ain't yours all the way, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of thereof. Let a tornado come through here. It ain't yours no more. Let a hurricane come through here. It ain't no more. Everything we got is temporary and transitory. You just need to thank God that he's allowed you to borrow them good shoes for a couple of days, to borrow that car for a couple of years. That's everything that God gave you. You need to thank him that he allowed you to have it for the time you got it. Because ain't no U-Haul go behind no hearse. And if there were any U-Hauls that went behind a lever hearse, we're going to unhitch it anyhow. We have it on the sale. It'd be on eBay before you get in the ground. But what I want to also remind you is that a pearl is created not from the dirt and the sit that goes into the mouth of the oyster. A pearl is created from the parasites that are in the oyster. In other words, God puts a hedge of protection around the parasite of sin in the oyster, and that's what creates an oyster. And all pearls are not smooth and shiny like they look like under the glass in the store. They got to be buffed out. And every Christian, every human being has to be buffed out. All of us are sandy stone. All of us are rough around the edges. You look good right now, but and then, finally, he talks about the parable of the net. He says that at the end of the day, just like those great fishermen I show, they throw out a huge net and they catch everything. And I forgot to tell y'all last week, the net also symbolizes the gospel, Chavis. The gospel is supposed to catch everything and everybody. Now, the problem is some fish jump out the net. But the gospel is designed to catch everybody. And then all of us, just like I showed you, will be sorted out at the end of days. It's not in your human responsibility or your human right to decide whether who and who goes to heaven or hell. You ain't going to be at none of the 12 gates checking tickets. You just better be happy that you get a ticket. And then the majority of us going to be looking at you like, how you got in here? And then you're going to look at me like, how you got in here? At the end of the day, God is going to separate the wheat and the weeds, and he's going to separate the good fish and the wicked fish. And then Jesus asked the question. Y'all got it? And the disciples said, yeah, Jesus, we got it. And that's where I really wanted to preach from the subject. Stop lying. Because we all ain't got it all the time. We all have come short. We all have come short of the glory of God. We all have made mistakes. We all sometimes, and some of y'all, I have never, I'm not a goody two-shoe, but one thing's, I've never smoked weed. Some of y'all have last night. And then he gives us one more analogy, and we're done. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a good householder. He doesn't say a good housekeeper. He says a good householder. He says a man who has property and ownership. And within this property and ownership, it is the old and the new. In other words, disciples, when you all go out to teach my grace, remind them that there's still an old covenant that God had made with Abraham. Nothing has changed in that covenant, and nothing has changed in those laws. All those things that you learn in the Old Testament are still good, but the point is now, there's now grace. The old is the penalty of the law, but the new is the grace that covers you from the penalty of the law. In other words, you still can be convicted. You can still be arrested. You can still be jailed. And some of us sometimes go into spiritual jail because we won't get all God's got for you because you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God can't give you all he wants to give you because you're living in sin. So the old has not been displaced. It has just been replaced by grace. And I need someone right now to give God credit for grace. Because you could have still been convicted. You still could have been cut off. But thank God for the grace that he has given us to not throw away the old, but thank God for the new thing called grace. And he says, this is what I need you to have. I need you to have the wisdom of that treasure. That treasure that man found in verse 44 comes back in verse 51 when that same treasure he's found is the wisdom of knowing that the old is still good as well as the new. The iPhone 2 still make calls. The iPhone 2 still take pictures. They might not look as good as the iPhone 12, but they both do the same thing. And go back, Damon. He talks about this treasure found in verse 44, and he brings back the treasure in 52, because the man had the treasure still in his possession. Walk with me now. God has given all of us knowledge, and God is a God of creation. The same treasure that was found in 44 births him being able to give out the treasure. treasure in verse 52. Stay with me. God is a God of creation. God made and separated the earth and the heavens on day one. All right? Then he makes the waters and sets the waters up in day two. Then he creates the land in day three. What he does on day four, he brings the stars out of the heavens that he had already created. And day five, he brings the fish out of the sea that he had already created. And then on day six, he brings out man out of the dirt that he had already created. He always creates out of that which he has already created. And I don't want to get into this subject. That's why same-sex relationships are not of God. They can be lovely, but they're not creative in nature. Because what God creates, he brings out of that creation something else. And the same treasure that's found in 44, the man still has it to give to others in 52. And that wisdom and knowledge of the word of God is the great treasure. And I have learned this week and been reminded this week and over the last 3 months that God is a way maker. God is a way maker. God is a healer. And I know that because I know about what the Bible has taught me in the old. And so when some calamity has happened recently, I did not crumble and I did not despair because I knew God had a history of healing. In December of last year, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. It's the last thing you want to hear your child, your mom being diagnosed with cancer. She told me that she had to have a biopsy and that it came back cancerous. And I said, okay, everything's going to be all right. We're not going to crumble. We're not going to be in despair. We're going to ask God how he's going to fix it. My mother has strength, the strength of a lion, and her faith is unbreakable. I was already strong because I had already survived COVID, because I already know that God is a healer. My dad had a massive heart attack when he was 32 years old, and he's 78 years old now. I already knew that there was something, and I hope I don't sound egotistical or arrogant. I know God has had a hedge of protection on my family. All right? I know other families. Cancer has taken a whole lot of people out. But I knew, Prelo, what God had done for my daddy. I knew, Prelo, what God had done for me. And I knew what God was about to do for my mom. And I haven't had a moment, because I called my advisors, I have not had one moment of fear and anxiety. My mother was diagnosed with cancer in December. She had her surgery 3 weeks ago. She had her scans on Tuesday. And Hazel, she's cancer-free 3 months later. But it gets gooder than that. Last Saturday, I got a call from another member. He's a mechanic. And he said, Pastor, I need to come to church tomorrow because I need you to lay hands on me. I said, oops, y'all know me. I'm out of town. I said, but we're going to FaceTime tomorrow because Jesus never touched a centurion soldier servant. So I don't have to be there to touch you to heal you. and I ain't the healer myself, but I'm going to FaceTime you in the morning. Now, listen here, y'all. He had already had his test and his biopsy. The test just came back on Monday. He calls me on Saturday, but the tests were coming back on Monday. He a little late. I can't change the test. Now, y'all called me a little bit early, right before you go to the doctor. I might can change some things for you. I'm just joking, because whatever it is, it's just going to be whatever it is. But he calls me on Saturday and says, I need you to lay hands on me and have prayer with me on Sunday because I get my test back on Monday. I said, I apologize. I'm out of town. We get a guest preacher, but I'm going to FaceTime you, and we're going to have prayer through FaceTime. And as a man of my word, that's what we did on Sunday. He calls me back Monday and say, Pastor, I got good news. I said, what's the good news, man? He says, well, it ain't all the way good, but it's better than I thought. Because I didn't tell you everything, Pastor. Not only was there a spot on my liver, there's also a spot on my pancreas. I said, oh, you sure didn't tell me the whole story. Because, you know, they find pancreatic cancer in stage 5. Ain't but 4 stages. But I don't know why, Hazel, and I meant to do a little research, but, you know, they don't find pancreatic cancer until it's in the last stage. And when you hear pancreatic cancer, that means you about to go. They give you months when you got pancreatic cancer. It's the worst one of all. But it's the liver that had the problem and was causing him the pain. The liver was causing him the pain. And he thought, just like men, that was just back pain because he was a mechanic, Kills, and he worked in the yard all the time, and so he was just having back pain. And he told me that he went for his annual physical, and men get an annual physical. Men get an annual physical. Men get an annual physical. Stop being scared of the doctor. And let me tell you, they don't have to use their finger no more. They can test your blood. That's why most of y'all scared to go. Go get you a physical. And the man told me he got his physical, and as he was leaving, Erica can tell the story and believe you, that he said he was walking out the door, headed to his car, and the doctor ran out after him and said, wait a minute! I need to examine you one more time. And he went back and touched that liver, and he said, something don't feel right here. I need to order an MRI. And he said the man ordered the MRI and saw the spot on the liver and the pancreas. And he told him that day, in all of my years, I don't even need to do a biopsy. It has already spread. I'm going to send you up to Duke. I don't really need to do the biopsy, but I have to. So they did the biopsy, and the results came back on Monday that he has a tumor on his kidney and a tumor on his pancreas. But here is the blessing. As I told you, they don't find pancreatic cancer until the 5th stage. If it had not been for the kidney, they would have never known about the pancreas. And the cancer is so small, and I don't know the medical term he used for it, that he don't even have to go through radiation or chemo. They got something now called a chemo peel that's going to both help and heal the kidney and the pancreas. See, y'all got to understand, sometimes y'all go through some pains and some things. It ain't the pain that's the original that God is trying to teach you. He's really trying to show you something else. When you went through that pain in that relationship, he wasn't trying to show you about a marriage. He was trying to show you about the strength that you have to deal with the issues of your own life. When you couldn't find a good man and you couldn't deal with a good man, you had to deal with the pain in your relationship with your father. See, sometimes stuff will show up in some places so that it can put a spotlight on another place. You wonder why you didn't get that promotion? Because you ain't finished your work. You ain't finished your job. You never got that certificate. You never finished that test. That sometimes God will put a spotlight in some areas to shine and put a greater spotlight on other things. He'll look at the old so he can show you the new. I wish I could have a witness in here about Miss Ruben's theology that understands that if you just understand the old, when the new dilemmas come in your life, you just need to put your faith out in action. You just need to put your memory in motion and remind yourselves what God has done before, he'll do it again. Anybody know that he will do it again? And what he's done for others, he will do the same thing for you. And I need somebody that can pray with me right now. And thank God for my grandmother. Thank God for our grandfather. Thank God for our ancestors who had to endure all the pains of slavery. Even though there was pain right there, that pain allowed us to have the glory that we're sharing right now. Yes, we're going through the pain of COVID right now, but don't you know there's going to be something better on the other side of this pain? God never takes you through something this painful to bring you something that's going to be worthy. Every mother should be standing up right now. Every mother who's ever given birth to a child knows that last push was the hardest push. And I need somebody to push out right now what God has got in you. I need somebody to push out right now what God is about to birth in you. I need a husband right now. I need a man right now to say, push, baby. Push, baby. Push, baby. Huff and puff and do whatever you got to do because God is about to do some exceedingly abundantly great things in your life. If and only if you believe. I know what God has done. I know my grandmother lived 95 years old. I knew my dad could have died at 32. I knew I could have died last November. So I knew my mama. I knew my mama. I knew my mama. I knew my mama. I'm sorry, some of y'all, I'm thinking about you now, my sister. I'm sorry it doesn't happen for everybody. Sorry it doesn't happen for everybody. COVID has taken a lot of people's lives. And I don't know why God chooses to speak.